Providence, Rhode Island, how y'all doing tonight? Here we are, immersed in what can only be called an extinct bank vault. This is fantastic. A comedy club that looks like a prison and a bank. Harmontown is now in session, Rhode Island. Oh, yeah. Won't you please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon. Did you want more music?
No. That was the end of the song. Rhode Island. Some facts about Rhode Island, Jeff.
Well, you just told me you didn't Wikipedia them.
The typewriter was invented
That's
here?
That's not true.
It is the smallest state per capita. Per capita. It is only 175 yards across. It is between the lower curve of the Tangiers River and the Colorado Peninsula.
Wow.
And it's the most haunted state. There's a lot of ghosts.
Are there any famous ghosts?
There are several famous ghosts. King Tut is rumored to haunt the Biltmore, which is just down the street. Charles Dickens apparently roams the old First Street promenade, still warning children about the events of Halloween 1912. And Connecticut haunts Rhode Island.
Why is that?
I just jealousy. So ever since Rhode Island was invented, Connecticut kind of became yesterday's news, and it suffered a sort of public relations death that it felt unjustified in. And I think if you still listen very quietly, you can still hear Connecticut weeping in the winds of the Rhode Island Expressway. All right, I didn't do any research. I figured it was a small state. We could get away with one night of just hanging out. A lot of you probably came here because we begged you to at the Boston show. And still others of you who weren't begged probably came. I mean, what, Rhode Island's like 30 feet across. It's like what are the odds that anyone's actually from within the boundaries of the state? Who do we have here that's actually a Rhode Islander?
Clap. Don't raise your hands.
Actually a shit ton of people. The entire population of Rhode Island. Now, how big is Rhode Island? What's the actual... 35 by 40 miles? I would have no idea if that was a joke or not. Like, I wouldn't know. Like, yeah. You could tell me 350 miles. I don't have any sense of the scale. I know that when you look at on the internet, it's one of the few states in the U.S. where they have to have that little magnifying glass thing come up. Like, they can't just put the red, you know, dot on it. That it has to have, like, a little inset where they're like, it's over here. That's it. I mean, I think that's nothing to be ashamed of. I don't know what having a big state gets you. I think that's stupid. Having it kind of defeats the purpose of being a state. Like, how are you supposed to make all those people happy? What kind of laws are you going to pass? Pass a law in Rhode Island, you know that it's, like, firmly set, because it's, like, you know, it's like only a couple people, like, said this. no smoking. For real. Me, Carl, and Dave said so.
Now, there's a reason Dan didn't Wikipedia Rhode Island today, because he was very busy.
Oh, yeah. I turned in my CBS script for, today. I've been kind of... You've probably sensed on the previous tour episodes that I've been a little preoccupied. I wasn't really letting my hair down that much. It was because I had something... You know, I had that on my mind. And now I'm done. Now I'm free, clear.
Now you've got like 48 hours to write a whole other script, don't you?
Yeah, for Fox, yeah. But that's you know, that's going to be the next Community. That's not going to be a problem. That's fine. That's going to come easy. The CBS thing was like rolling a brick up a hill because it's like, Jesus Christ, why is everything double-spaced? That's how they like it. They like it double-spaced. They like more cameras and more pages over there. It's not easy. And you have to write in. Did you know this? When you write a multi-camera script, you have to write in where the people laugh? Did you know that?
No, you don't.
No, I'm kidding. That would be amazing. People laugh, and then people chuckle, and people go, ooh. All right, so...
Can we do a reading of the script tonight?
Listen. I don't know. I don't think we're allowed to. That's ridiculous. They paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for it. I can't read it. $10 worth?
Yeah, all give us like one couplet.
I did some tasty fade ins. That's $10 worth of.
what makes a tasty fade in?
I used the letter Q quite a bit, ways you might not expect. Yeah. I'm legally liable now. The letter Q is used 8 times in the script. You know too much. It's about a guy and his daughter. You can't really get deeper than that in a multi-camera sitcom. It's about a guy and his daughter. It's about relationships, Jeff. Multi-camera sitcoms are not a baser art form. In fact, they are, in television terms, more classic, obviously. We started with The Honeymooners. When we started making sitcoms, we started with the idea that these were plays that were adapted for larger audiences, but at their heart were a couple hundred people watching something reacting together as human beings. So they may seem to our new cinematic savvy eyes as being somehow more primitive or cheesy or watered down or silly, but I think that's just because a lot of them are written very poorly, and I think that I turned in one that's superior to everything on television. I think I'm going to revitalize the whole format. I think people are going to be going, why doesn't everyone laugh at everything all the time when you're watching it? And it's going to bury The Voice and American Idol and Major League Baseball. Everyone's going to start watching shows about guys in an apartment that can't make the rent and have a dog forever. I think this is a nice looking place. Dave and Corey, that's their names, right? The guys that run the place, Dave and Corey. Am I getting that right?
Yes.
Okay. Dave and Corey are too modest to call out yes. They were interior design guys before they opened this club. That's not a joke. They told me. And their Wi-Fi password is Dave Corey 2630.
Why would you tell them that?
Well, because if anyone wants to get on the Wi-Fi.
Oh, I see. Okay. Just fragment this audience to pieces. We can all be checking our Facebooks.
And I said, are you guys 26 and 30 years old? Because I know my passwords often have like my ages attached to them. When the thing says you have to have a number, you know, I just stick my age on there. So over the years, I'm like, oh, God damn it. Was I 37 or 38 when I started getting into feet? When I went through my latex phase.
How many porn passwords do you think you have?
Impossible, Jeff. An impossible calculation. Fortunately, I lose my credit cards enough that they expire by virtue of, you know, I just get a lot of emails going, we tried to bill your credit card. Yeah, fuck you. Yeah, that's what you get for your sneaky ways, capitalizing on people in a moment of weakness. I'm not only a porn addict, I'm also a drunk, so I lost my wallet again. So I jerked off only as much as I needed to. But Dave and Corey are not 26 and 30, but that's how old they were when they started their first business. I thought that was cool. I don't know. I thought that was... It's funny the way that we have public things like Wi-Fi names and license plates and things that you can open a little hobbit door and go into a... All of a sudden, you're finding out things about people. For example, Jeff... I don't have an example. That would have been so cool.
Now, I've known you for a long time. You've gone through a series of fetishes.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
It's Rhode Island. It's not going to... You know, where's this going to go?
Is there a are you on something new that I don't know about? Have you gone down a new rabbit hole into finding
out
what?
That's a good question. What have I been into? Tracing my I wish I could trace like
because
the history.
For those of you who listened before, like I was at Dan's apartment like years and years ago, and he had taken all these individual pages out of like titty mags and like Playboys and stuff, and put them in a manila folder, and just like rather than having all the magazines around, he just took out the pages that were potent.
Right, you know, and anybody ever do that? Well, that's probably like a thing. Oh God, is it Marissa? Is your mom here again? Oh.
Yeah, we brought this girl's mom on stage last night, and we talked about masturbation, and it was touch and go. And I, oh, I'm good by accident. That was accidental gold.
Anybody over, I would estimate 30, any guy over 30 might know about that process where, like, maybe you'd have to be over 35, like, the consolidation phase when you're, like, I've never met a guy who didn't have this problem that you tend to hoard pornography. Like, you can't throw it away. We get bored with it. You look at a picture of a certain person. See how inclusive I was there. You could be like, holy shit, this is amazing. This is right up my alley. Okay, great. But it's like any MP3 or anything, like or a piece of chewing gum or anything. It's just like it's just a picture. It's not Aaron McGathy at the end of the day.
Nice save.
It's not someone you can love who brings you steak salads when you're working on your pilot and who serves you tea when you have the sniffles and cuddles up with you in the morning
and
who looks like
a little
baby strawberry cuddled up under your comforter. And
she just gave you the business backstage about sneaking a nacho, though.
Yeah. Well, she cares about me. She wants me to live long enough, and I'm 12 years older than her. Sometimes she'll sit me down and go, Dan, you're going to die. You gotta eat good.
she's the specter of death.
She puts her hand on my face and spreads her fingers in a weird way and says, "You're gonna die. You're gonna die." She cares about me. But even though the pornography loses its flavor, guys. I'm not going to say back me up on this. I'm just... But if anyone who is the exception to this rule, I'd love to talk to you. I can't throw it away. You can't... And now we've gone into this age where it's on your hard drive instead of, like, under your bed in a box or something. But back before the internet made all periodical pornography obsolete, it was like there were these magazines, and if you were like me and you're in your 20s and you were like, oh, I'm gonna get another one because everything loses its flavor, but you can't throw the old ones away. So what you're describing is you found my manila folder full of consolidated porn.
Yeah, the greatest hits.
Like, I gotta, just out of sheer bulk, I gotta clear the decks here, but I'm gonna take the pages out that are most important, and I'll put them all in a manila folder that was about this thick. And Jeff was going through them. Oh, I'm sorry, this thick. I've held up my hands about 2 inches thick. Jeff found it and was going through it. It was like, what is this? Oh, that's my porn consolidation file. When I moved from such and such to such and such, I consolidated to save U-Haul space. And he's looking through it, and he goes, geez, you got a thing for redheads, huh? And I was like, I do? And then I looked through, and they were all redheads. Not an exciting story, but very interesting that
yeah,
I didn't
but,
see
yeah, but
that.
Then, but that, then you started going down a road of mannequin legs, nylons on mannequin legs, videos about women under the table popping their shoe off their heel.
Right.
Then you bought the real doll, and we didn't see you for a year. Yeah. And, until you fucked her head off or something? What happened? The head started to kind of tear at
well,
the
that
neck?
Sounds violent. Yeah, they... Anybody that works like in television special effects will tell you that latex and silicone and stuff like that stuff degrades, you know. So, and then you see these ads for buy a fake woman made out of this stuff, and you're like, it's the perfect crime. Like I'll take myself off the market. I'll spare all these poor women. I'll spare myself. Like everyone will win. But then 6 months later, it's like the head's falling off, and it's awful. It's awful. Yeah. It's really grody.
So where are you at now?
Because when do you throw that thing away? If you keep a magazine, when do you throw away your $6,000 rubber woman?
You just roll her up in a rug and throw her off the 101 freeway.
Yeah. Awful. Thank God I had an assistant by that time.
Oh, God. You made someone do it for you?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how did she or he dispose of it?
Ask her. I don't know. I went on a road trip. Said that crate better be gone when I get back. It's depressing.
It's like came in a crate. That's like it's like a Stephen King thing. It's really
I mean, think of the alternatives. Is it supposed to come in a spider web? Is it supposed to come in a cocoon, like a gremlin?
So where are you at now? What's floating your boat now?
I don't know.
You don't know that you can tell us, or you don't know what it is?
Well, I'm in a relationship now, so it's number one. It's like it's not so much about exploration when you get the chance or have the urge. It's more of a shotgun thing. Like you're just like, all right, I'll tell you whatever. But also because I'm in a relationship, it's really not the time to get that specific, like conjuring up. Like, I don't know. It feels like the past is more. You're more allowed to be honest about the past. But like, I don't know if I.
Let's talk about yesterday.
Yesterday, green-haired middle-aged women I was into. I thought you meant like. Erin flyered for the show today. She's so dedicated to the to my happiness that she printed up 1,000 flyers for the show and just took them around to hand out to people. Is anyone here because of the flyer?
Way to go.
That doesn't mean the flyering was ineffective. It only means that she forgot to put the showtime on them. It was a very hasty, love-motivated job. It was less about engineering and more about an expression of wanting me to be happy.
I was told that the first flyer she handed to somebody, a girl goes, "Oh, it's great. What time's the show?" And I was like, "Oh, fuck."
What time is the show? That's what's weird. The answer is 5:30. For those of you in podcast land, the sun is still streaming in through the Rhode Island skylights. There's a cat lazily napping on the warm sidewalk. There's eggs on the griddle, and we're doing a little comedy, a little conversative comedy before Bobcat Goldthwait comes on at 6 p.m. What's it?
7:30, I think.
This is the second time that we have found ourselves inadvertently opening for Bobcat, and I'm going to do some checking after the show. Actually, I'm going to do some checking with Bob. Who we know and love. I want to know from Bob if the same woman at our agency is doing the booking of his shows, because if she's the one, if the reason why every time we're in the same town as Bobcat is because she's double booking rooms, I'm going to kick her in the fucking forehead. Because I don't know how funny you guys feel at 5:30, but you should just be thankful that I'm an alcoholic, because no one should be this drunk.
Backstage, you're feeling pretty cocky about your self worth, and you're talking about your powers as a writer. You're hulking out back there.
Yeah, what's different? What do you mean? I have a sociopathic edge to me right now, don't I? Like I'm not. Can't you hear the kind of weird, cold, even temper to my voice? Don't I seem like a little like soulless and like kind of into myself?
Well, let's
unapologetic and like.
Let's just as a barometer, I just want to do a little experiment just to see how different you are tonight from other nights.
Yo. Bread, butter, milk, salt. I fucked your mama, asphalt. I fucked your mama, sky is blue. I fucked your mama one time and two. I fucked your mama on the point of her nose. I fucked your mama and a tree grows out of her face where I fucked her. That's how fertile my semen is. Yo.
Pretty good. Yeah, I think you're about there.
I don't know.
You know my mama's dead, right?
Yeah. So is Aaron. So is everybody's. Big whoop-de-doo. Maybe it's because you and all your dead moms.
Maybe it's because you keep fucking people and trees grow out of their face.
All I do is express myself. I mean, maybe I wish I had a dead mom. That's another way of saying.
Yo.
Mom, if you're listening, that doesn't mean I wish you were dead. It just means I wish I had a dead mom. It's two different things. Yo. I mean, it's like,
would you, for rap purposes, because obviously you don't literally mean you're going to fuck my mother or these people's mothers, would you ever rap about fucking your own mother?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I fucked my own mom. It was amazing. Skies were hazing. It was Judgment Day. I fucked my own mom in an intimate way. I curled up with her in a Hamlet bed. I said, oh, baby, gonna kiss your head. I would go down to your collarbone. I'm gonna fuck you like I was alone. I'm gonna jerk off on your titty and your knee. I'm gonna fuck you like I only fuck me. I'm gonna roll you over and fuck you from behind. I'm gonna fuck your pussy and see what I find. It's a wedding ring. It's my dad's. Oh, shit, I fucked you bad. I fucked you. Fuck you, Freudian style.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's good.
I forgot. Did you see? I know you saw between where I said I forgot Oedipus's name.
Oh, is that what you started scrambling?
Yeah. I was like Orpheus. What is it?
Right.
That's a senior moment. I lost the word Oedipus. You don't get more primal than the word Oedipus. Like if you're yes. talking about fucking yeah, your you mom,
you lost
the word Oedipus. You should get a couple scripts left in you before you need to Hunter the old Thompson. Could you Foster the Wallace? Spalding your gray, hemming your way. Yeah, what? What are the continued groans? Wait, that guy killed himself! Wait, so did that guy! Three guys that killed... Those are all right? What are you... This next one better be a florist that lived forever. There's another writer that killed himself! I'm gonna fucking freak out! Spalding Gray's from Rhode Island. Oh, nice. I knew that. Full circle. Thank you, sir. Really? Is he originally born in Rhode Island? Did he live here? I was so bummed out when he killed himself. I mean, I get bummed out anytime anyone kills themselves, but I don't know about most of the people. And I really, really respected Spalding Gray, and as I'm sure a lot of people here did. And it's such a fucking bummer. When these talented people. A fan in the Brooklyn show came up to me and gave me a David Foster Wallace novel that I never knew David Foster Wallace wrote, because I just thought that David Foster Wallace was an essayist. I didn't really actually know that he was an amazing novelist.
Was it a giant
one? Obviously not a great fan.
Infinite Jest or another one?
Yeah, Infinite Jest.
That's a big-ass book. That's like a phone book.
And so I simultaneously learned that David Foster Wallace had written a novel and that he had killed himself in, I think, 2008. I didn't know either of those facts.
I bought that book the day before he died. It was really weird. Haven't read it.
That one's especially tragic because, I mean, I think they're all probably, I don't know, there's probably linkage to, it's just so clearly kind of chemical, like he was on meds and he had to go off of them and because they were causing him trouble, and then he started to have troubles. So when people kill themselves, it's kind of by definition, you think, well, that's a voluntary act. If someone gets hit by a subway train or hit by lightning or gets cancer, that's by definition an involuntary act. But when people are kind of chemically troubled and there's medication involved and then they can't, you know, it's like it's weird because it's as involuntary, it seems, as getting hit by a train. Like if you caught this person on the right day at the right time and gave them the right thing in their pancake syrup or something, you know, like that you could keep them from making this decision that was going to last forever. Terrible, awful. Hey, let's do the raffle.
Everybody look under your seats.
We're giving away lithium tonight. If you think you need it, please use it, especially if you're an incredibly talented writer. I will never do that, I don't think. I'm not talented enough, and I'm too chicken shit and too... I don't think I don't... Yeah, I could never picture myself doing that. But at the same time, like didn't Spalding Gray do it because he was in a lot of physical pain? Wasn't he, like, fucked up?
Yeah, he was in an auto accident in Ireland.
You're right.
And he came back, and he couldn't ever get over that.
Yeah, I mean, that must be... To repeat that, for in case we didn't pick that up, he was in an auto accident in Ireland, and he never got over it, meaning I'm assuming the pain never... That was chronic, and he couldn't handle it.
Or there's people that they have like that. What's the thing where your ears ring? There's a tinnitus or whatever. Tinnitus, rather. Yeah. It just drives them insane that they can never get this sound out of their ears and stuff like that. Like that's madness.
Jesus Christ.
Let's all fucking kill ourselves right now.
Would you guys do that?
I'm gonna count to three. I'm gonna count to three. And it's on three, you guys. It's not one, two, three, go. two, bang.
I don't, Jeff, can we, how would you do it?
Kill myself? Not jump off something. That's
no,
crazy.
Never.
That's crazy. How would I do it?
All those people that jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, which is numerous. Hey, Aaron, can you hear me? How did you? I think you remembered this number. How many people jump off the Golden Gate Bridge every year?
It's something like 8. I mean, the stat was weird.
It's 8
every 2 weeks or something.
Yeah. Okay. 8 every 2 weeks, she said.
So like 4 every week.
So some of them are doing it because math was never.
So
what's that a month?
A couple hundred. Yeah. Couple hundred a year or more? Yeah, that's...
Wait, is that really? 60 a month? That can't be right. Or are you...
Okay, we estimate that it's much more than that because a lot of people jump off in the middle of the night and their bodies are just swept away to the ocean. So that's the number that they find.
Oh. Wow,
a million a night.
I hope we picked that up.
Oh, I have an answer.
I just love Aaron's tone of having to report this from the back of a town hall in Rhode Island. It's about a...
I have my answer. I would firing squad. I would do it fucking old school firing squad.
No.
Because you see the footage of a firing squad, and the guy's there, and he's got a cigarette, and he says, "Vive la France," and he puts a cigarette. And then they go, bang, he goes, and he's fucking gone.
No way.
He's in heaven or hell the next moment. It's not electric chair or pills or the carbon monoxide in the garage. I would absolutely, and also, like, there'd be the drums. And then you go, like, I'm fucking doing this right. This is some 17th century shit going down here. That's how you do it.
I don't know. Too much suicide formation. and that's not even suicide. When are you going to go to heaven and try to play it off? Like you're going to like, a bunch of guys shot me. We know what you did.
Oh, okay. I would make a time machine, go back in time and try to kill the king. And then they would ask me how I wanted to die, and it would be death by I'd be killing myself by choosing to die by if I wanted to
suicide
kill myself
by attempted regicide.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna go hang myself. No, I'm not gonna go hang myself.
The show's not going that bad. You're doing
great. I'm
gonna
go with hanging myself.
Really? Because that's not so clean. You dangle, you pee yourself, and then
yeah.
You...
But people do it just like sitting, like they do it on accident while jerking off, which means that you can do it kind of like an accident. If you can accidentally do it while you're jerking off, that means it must be pretty painless.
Yeah.
The guy from In Excess, right?
No.
No, I don't mean David Carradine was in excess. I was adding to his list. David Carradine did autoerotic asphyxiation, we believe, and the lead singer of NXS.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to die with my dick in my hands. That's...
Well, no, I'm not going to jerk off. I'm killing myself.
It wouldn't even be hard.
Those guys.
You have your flaccid dick in your hands and a belt, and you're in
there. Those guys accidentally killed themselves while
we
jerking off.
We don't know that.
Yeah, we do, because their dicks were in their hands. I'm saying that, therefore, because you're able to do it while having that much pleasure, and so obviously those guys had everything to live for in that moment, they would have stopped if they had known, oh shit, I'm dying. They would have stopped, which means that they weren't conscious enough of the fact that they were dying to stop it, which means, to me, perfect death, because it means that you could actually sit in a relaxed position and like arrange like a thing around your neck, a ligature. Are you kids listening? and do enough with your own weight that you could lose consciousness and drift off into infinity. But second to that, carbon monoxide, for the same reason, because it happens on accident and people don't stop it from happening. So I think you go to sleep. I'm scared of pills because I think you would, you might.
See, that guy in the front goes, this is a great show. This is exactly... Last night, they were fucking mamas, and there was... everyone's going to die tonight.
All right. Just kind of curious. Just before we get off this topic, because I'm just curious about it. What's like the...
Who here has killed themselves?
Well, who here would do it jumping off of something? There's a couple hands.
Couple,
I'm not going to make you come up and talk about it. I just wanted to see, like, percentage-wise.
There's about 4 or 5 or 6 people.
And then I think it's weird. It's like a... It's not like a bell curve where it's like, oh, a bunch of people would do it by shooting themselves, and then 10% of people want to burn to death. Or it's like, it's almost like a weird, like, fractal, I don't know, pattern. It's everyone's a little snowflake of suicide.
Yeah.
Most importantly, I think nobody would kill themselves, mostly.
Let's make an agreement. No suicides tonight.
I feel like legally I have to... Legally, I have to say that real quick before we part that topic.
Well, why don't let's come up with a new reason for all of us to live. You know, I mean, we all have our own reasons, but let's find out.
Obama's inauguration.
This little community that we've created here tonight, this audience has its own. We're all one brand new organism. Let's create a brand new reason to never kill ourselves. To see Dan's new show is a good reason?
I while you're getting stuff from the audience, I'm creating a new reason myself back here.
Dan has gone back to the sandwich cart to make himself a nice new vodka on the rocks. Erin McGathy came backstage while we were getting ready, and she was very excited because she was like, hey, guys, Erin from last night at the show outside of Boston is here. And we're like, oh, yeah, cool. Like, yeah, she was cool. I mean, like I said, like, oh, the black girl, right? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, is that why you're telling us? Is that why that's interesting? And she was like, yeah, it's a black Erin. I've never met a black Erin before.
Black Erin.
Yeah, Black Erin, get up here, would you?
Whoa, Black Erin. Bam-ba-lam. Whoa, Black Erin.
Bam-ba-lam, Black Erin.
Whoa, Black Erin. Bam-ba-lam. She's like Erin, but she's black. It proves that race is an artificial construct. There's a Black Erin. Hello. Are you okay coming up here? I don't know. You're such a sweetheart. We met last night in that place that's not Boston, Somerville.
You even kind of dress like a black Erin. I could see Erin McGathy if she were black, dressing exactly like that.
It's an Erin outfit. I didn't even. Yeah.
She got little black tights on and stuff like that. Little skirt. Yeah.
I'm so obsessed with race. I didn't even. you were here. You were in Somerville, and you came. You were with this dude. That is he here tonight?
Same He's guy. Here. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I thought, didn't you say what was your name, sir?
Matt.
And it's like I thought. I remember having a conversation about this. I was trying to figure out what your MO was. Weren't you like are you? You're not from any of these places, are
no,
you?
No, I'm from Colorado.
Right. So
Colorado.
So and you're staying with your friend Matt for the Somerville show.
Well, Matt's from Vermont. We decided to come to Boston for the Somerville show, and since Rhode Island is close, we decided to come down here too.
And then, but then, I'm wrong saying are you going to a third show too?
I'm going to Denver too.
Right, because that's in Colorado where you're from.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, that's where the confusion is, because that's where I was saying, oh, is Matt going to be there too? And you're like, no, because Matt's from around here.
Right.
All right. All right. It's not that intriguing. I thought I would stumble onto like solving a bank robbery like spree or something. Like you guys were there was a trail of receipts we could turn you in.
Aaron was saying that there was some interesting story to why your name is Aaron. Is that true?
Oh, well, I was just mentioning in Freakonomics, I told Aaron that there's a chapter about naming children, how it's harder to get a job when your name is something like, you know, Letitia or something more ethnic sounding. And my mother made sure that all of her children's names were neutral sounding or sounded, you know, she wanted to make sure that we'd be able to at least get her foot in the door. And
has that worked out for you? What do you do for a living?
I'm a professional Letitia.
Right now I'm a student.
Okay, great. What do you study?
I'm studying web design and computer programming.
Oh, fantastic. So, yeah. Do you feel like your less ethnic name has given you that foot in the door?
I think it's a lot of things, and I honestly can't tell because I've lived my entire life with being an Aaron and
There are some pretty crazy names though. My friend I went to school with a girl named Exquisita, which is awesome.
Wow. Wow.
It's kind of what brings up a weird and probably uncomfortable topic, though, the idea that it comes up over and over again, the idea of things that are somehow, like, that we identify as cultural, and then the things that, like, you know, Bill Cosby rails against. like two sides of this spectrum where, you can put yourself in any shoes, or I can anyway, as a weird, mixed up white guy. Like, I can't find a place where I'm comfortable just going, oh, that's the empirical fact. Because, like there are people who would go, well, don't assimilate. And then there's a, well, what are you assimilating? Like, what? It's all so fucking confusing because it all starts with co-opting humanity, bringing people over, giving them a job they didn't ask for far below their pay grade, denying them, you know, some staples like medicine, literacy, et cetera, and then at some point changing our mind about it, which is a great, great, great turn of events. But now all this, like now. Complexion being linked to empirical realities demographically, like wealth distribution and things like that, but it being conveniently racist to point out any correlations at someone's leisure. A Republican gets to go, what do you mean? I thought everyone was equal. What do you mean he's black, therefore he's poor? What are you, a racist? And then it's awfully... It almost seems like only the bad guys win as long as we keep staying confused about all of it. As long as we keep just kind of like worrying about the fact that we're different. And it seems like that's the only leitmotif. That's it. And that's the only empirical truth is a class system. That rich people kind of want poor people to just be unsure about everything that unites them. Bam! I fucked your black mama. I did it with my white dick. So what? I didn't care. I'm not racist. I united humanity with my dick. Black mama. I don't know. Aaron, do you have any opinions about any of this stuff?
I do.
All right. can you do them in 2-4 time, or do you want to? No. What? Yeah. Let's let it rip.
Do you want to beat?
No. it's actually one of the reasons I really like your show. I love this podcast is because you have difficult conversations about things like that. It sort of feels like a journal, you know, like Dear Diary or something like that.
It definitely feels more like a journal than like, say, a screenplay or a TV show, something with structure that has a point to it.
But, I mean, it's important to have difficult conversations because whenever you don't talk about things, then it doesn't make the things go away.
Exactly. So. Like every single, I mean, okay, like we've been a human race for quite a while, and I'm sure that there were times when there were bigger problems than lack of communication, like people just stabbing you and fucking the stab hole, like because you were like from somewhere else or. I'm sure there was like shit just happening right outside your front door that had to be dealt with before we learned to communicate and be honest. But now it seems like every single problem can be solved through people speaking what's in their head, honestly, and letting it either like because how far does a person who is our modern definition of racist, you know, how far is that person going to be able to state their case before solutions start cropping up even to his own fucking brain, or hers? Women can be racist. It's okay, ladies. It's like people communicating about that. That's what makes me sound to some people like incredibly jaded and cynical, even though the weird ironic truth is that I'm so optimistic because what I believe is that people, once you start babbling, like the inevitable result is that shit gets, like, that you thought was important stops being important. Shit that you thought was a monster stops being, it turns out to be your own reflection or, like, your dad's ghost or something. And the reality just becomes, like, everyone got, like, so simple, like, that we're on a playground again going, oh, I don't want to be alone. If I had to choose anything, I'd just choose to be around other people. Let's work the rest out as we have to. but yeah, that's so. I agree that my podcast is great.
I have a question. I'm asking this ignorantly because you're black and you're a woman. What's more pervasive for you, racism in your life or sexism? Like, what do you feel you get is the more prevalent or the most you get the most dominated by?
You could ask in a more hypothetical sci-fi sense, like if you got to have one button on your wrist that could make you switch but switch back anytime you wanted, like would you rather have a button that turned you into a dude whenever you wanted or a button that made you white whenever you wanted? I just made that up. And you get to change back anytime. It's not about not liking yourself. It's just about the social obstacles or whatever kind of inconveniences.
I think that I've probably never ever wanted to be a man. I've never even considered it. I think there was, when, you know, every kid has that moment in their life when they.
I haven't either, Aaron. Never wanted this.
I didn't ask for it.
I didn't ask.
It's flapping around down there. It seems very impractical. I have nipples.
Sorry, go ahead.
They feel good. All right, sorry.
It's okay. I grew up in the suburbs, and I grew up around everybody. Everybody else was white around me, and I think whenever I was a kid, I really didn't realize. It's not that I wanted to be white. I think that I just didn't realize I was black.
Right.
And so whenever I did realize I was black, I was like, oh, well, I don't want to be different. So.
Yeah, I had a lot of friends growing up when I was in Milwaukee Public School, like when I was like definitely in grade school. It was like I was sort of like that I think Howard Stern said the same thing in his like little movie that I saw. He illustrated the same thing. I was actually a lone little white drop in a public school sea that I didn't really perceive until later. Mm-hmm. And I have like little photos of me in class, like at graduation ceremonies, and it's like my head like in a sea of things that I now distinguish, but that I didn't instinctively do back then. And it's like, we find it hard to believe as a racially obsessed society that it actually is an artificial construct, but it is so much more artificial than so many more real things that we've actually also been hypnotized to not pay attention to, and that are more real, like poverty and wealth, and how that doesn't make you a good or a bad person. Like we are very convinced that poor people are their own fault. Like that when you wake up poor, you're a piece of shit. You did something wrong. We're also very convinced that when you get sick, you did something wrong. Like, I still feel that. If somebody rolls into a room in a wheelchair, I get fucking, like, I go into crisis mode. Like, my goal is to figure out how to avoid, like, this poor person who probably, like, would be into talking about what is wrong and what happened and how hard it is and all this stuff. But all I can think about through after-school specials and my own, like, narcissism is like, oh, fuck that guy. Like, I just got to be a living ghost, or that's what's best for both of us. And that's way more real than cheekbones and melanin in your skin, because there's a lot of, like, yeah. So, anyways, I keep sounding like I'm, like running for something. It's stupid. But I'm probably flawfully, like, fascinated with this stuff, and I... what was our point? Wait, what were we on? I derailed that. I derailed it.
We're talking about sexism, racism, stuff like.
Right, right. I mean, sexism seems more real because women are chemically different from men. They literally have no penis from birth. Like, there is an actual hole where the penis goes on a man, and there's. This is true. No, it's true.
I'm just shaking my head back here.
And as an extension of sexism, then homophobia is actually a little more real, even though there's a huge difference between homophobia and racism in that a homosexual can walk around and get a job and hang out, and if they choose to, they can never have anyone or even themselves be conscious of the thing that makes them different inside. Women can't, like, they can't escape their gender, and to the extent that we keep paying attention to race, like people can't escape their race. What's my point? I don't know. There's got to be, like, a card game we can make out of this, or what do we? I think is the problem solving itself? Are we just getting? We're getting. I noticed that, like, 20-year-olds are bored with, like, things that used to make me laugh when I was 20. You know, like, race used to be a much hotter button when you mashed it as a comedy writer. Like I can see myself becoming antiquated in writer's rooms. I can see people like Donald Glover like going like yeah, it's not that funny. It's like, and it's not indignant or anything. It's just getting hackier and hackier to mash those buttons, which I think is a good sign. Is everything fading? Is everything getting better?
Sure.
Yeah. Aaron?
I think that things move in cycles, honestly, and it's really difficult to tell, especially with the recent history of race in this country. I do think that the problem with people ignoring it and getting bored with it is that they still haven't dealt with the actual issue. I mean, people...
The actual issue is legacy of a thing that actually factors into class, right?
Like, it's class, it's privilege, it's just basically how we see each other. I mean, I think sometimes people think racism is bad, but basically we don't understand why racism is bad or why sexism is bad. We are focusing so much as a society on pinpointing little individual things that people are just labeling. Oh, this is PC. Now I have to be PC.
Trying to we're actually like fucking up the problem by going, okay, here's the seminar that the legal department can use to avoid legal liability. We're going to teach all of you racist sexists how to seem less racist and sexist in the workplace. These are the things you're not allowed to say at the water cooler in order to keep Sony from getting sued.
Right.
And so this guy who might become less racist or sexist watches the video and goes, okay, I can't say nice tits.
Yeah.
And all he knows is that he can't say it.
Yeah.
He doesn't know why.
Yeah,
he doesn't know like that it might get him laid more, for instance, to not say it.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. That humanity is an individual thing. He's not getting that from a sexual harassment seminar.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do something with Aaron
that's both racist and sexist.
Yeah. Let's do a little. I don't want to be too trite, but I want to do like one of our little movies or TV shows, Jeff. I want to do like a little. I like that we've started doing this on the road.
Oh boy!
You do a little, like Aaron. What's your big ambition? What do you want to do?
Like pie in the sky, dream gig.
I would love to do something creative that changes a lot of people or affects a lot of people's lives.
And what are you doing now to pay your rent?
I'm a nanny, and I work at Banana Republic.
two groups gave me some vocal support. Or one very specific person.
I think Aaron should come up, white Aaron should come up and play black Aaron though on this. Do you think? Aaron McGathy to the stage. In the role of a lifetime.
Okay.
We're going to test your range right now, Aaron.
Aaron McGathy is going to win a Tony for her portrayal of black Aaron.
Aaron McGathy, everybody.
Aaron was also a nanny, yes, it's true. Both Aarons were nannies. You still are nannying, new Aaron.
New right? Aaron.
Yes. All right, she's a nanny. She's worked at Banana Republic. Her aspiration is to create things for people.
People's attitudes, change their minds. I'm sorry. Change their attitudes, change their minds, maybe open their minds. You know.
Like art or literature? Or?
Art, literature. I love to write. I love to draw. I want to be a graphic designer or a web designer.
Just kind of creativity all across the board.
Yeah.
That's great.
Something creative.
That's a great aspiration.
All right. Here we go. It's a new movie. It's called Black Aaron. Transparent soul. Transparent heart. Soul sounds racist.
Dreams and peace. Hey, world. I'm gonna work on changing you today.
So what? You're black.
Oh! What? I'm black? This is the moment when I realized I was black.
What are you doing upstairs, Aaron? It's your mother. I'm making pancakes.
Honey, leave her alone. She's going through a rough time right now.
What do you mean? She's my little girl.
She just found out she was black. We should have told her a long time ago.
Oh, God.
You're going to have to go have one of those talks that mothers give to their similarly raced children.
All right. I suppose this is the bet I made. Aaron?
Yes, Mom?
Your father told me about something that happened today.
Yeah.
I guess it's time to tell you about a world that I tried to shield you from by giving you neutral name.
I don't understand. My name is Aaron. Everyone named Aaron is a mousy or average-looking white girl.
Ladies, I'm sorry to interrupt. Can I come in for a second?
Yes.
I feel like I've been a bad husband and father to both of you, and I'll tell you why. There's something I've been meaning to tell you both for a long time. You're both women.
What?
Yes.
That's fine. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I'm fine with that. I'm all fine right. with that.
Should feel like you should know that.
Oh.
Mom, I really hate Dad.
Your father is an award-winning obstetrician who's given special accolades for his ability to notice gender.
Honey, oh my God, the obstetrician society is called. I won the golden fetus. Sorry, go back to what you were doing. I have to go back out and destroy creativity in the world.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear that? He just said.
That's just his way. The important thing is to love one another. I gave you a mousy white girl's name because I didn't want you to be one thing or the other. I wanted you to feel comfortable in a world. My dream is that these problems that we're subjecting each other to, they'll just go away.
All right. That's very nice.
Good luck on your final exams.
Thank you, Mom. Matt, no.
I just want to know if you still want to go to the snowball dance with me.
Matt, I have to focus. I mean, if I'm going to change the world with art or music or graphic design or something else or speech or something, first of all, I'm going to have to spend some time focusing, and then I'm going to have to do it. That wasn't a note, Aaron. You're doing fine. I'm sorry. I thought I was going to get a big laugh, and I didn't. I'm just kidding. She's the best. All right.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. I have the answers to this final exam. You wouldn't even have to study. Just copy off of me, and then you can focus on being creative. Or my name's not Phil Dorfman.
It's not. It's Matt.
Oh, Matt. Yeah, Matt. Right.
So I couldn't possibly trust you.
Look, man.
Hello, son. I'm sorry to bother you at school. Your name is actually Matt. I should have told you that a long time ago.
Oh.
Sorry, go back to harassing that girl over there.
Listen.
Also, she's black.
Hey, I don't care. I've never had a reason to care, and I'm not gonna have one today. Okay, so just copy off of me, and then you have time to be creative, and we could be boyfriend and girlfriend, and the world could be free of race. We could have a little beige baby.
Well, gosh, there's so many things running through my mind.
Months later. Push, daughter, push. Push.
Anybody else?
No, I'm...
Anyone else?
Nobody in this town has won more awards for delivering babies than me. I'm a 3-time Golden Baby Award winner. And I will deliver your baby. Oh, my God. All right, he's coming up breech. He's coming up breech. It's hideous! It's hideous! Don't mix the races! Don't mix the races!
Okay, well, that went differently than...
Transparent heart, everybody. Transparent heart.
Aaron, that did not... That was not the right... Okay, let's compare notes. My thought was that Phil/Matt would, who loved Aaron regardless of her race, was going to have her copy off of his test for his own convenience, his own visceral convenience.
Right.
And then they were going to get caught by a teacher, and then he was going to throw her under the bus and, like, you know, kind of like play the race card.
Great. So you wrote the improv scene we were going to do.
Well, I'm a fucking genius. I was like writing ahead. I certainly didn't intend to cut to the birthing of a minotaur.
Right.
Which seemed like a direct, like it was like a cautionary tale against misogyny. What did we create?
I'm saying we haven't figured out our problems. It just cast a stark, trenchant social commentary on the state of things now. It's making us look at ourselves the way we actually are, the darker version of ourselves as we actually are right now.
I mean, I have to admit, I mean, I'm white, Aaron. I'm white, Aaron. No, definitely in my head about playing. What is this look on your face?
I'm just waiting to.
Definitely in my head about playing Black Aaron, because when you're playing a character, you're like, how is this character different from me? But we're the same. We have the same sensibilities.
This is the talk back portion of the. You ever go to a play and then.
Heather, Aaron, what's your takeaway from our little tale there? I mean, what do we do right? What do we do wrong?
Oh, Black Aaron.
I thought it was great.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Accurate.
You know why? Because as much as you, as a dominant white male, want to control the outcome of things, especially involving women and communication, sometimes life takes its own course.
Only I, as a white man, know how to solve racism and sexism. It is something I have been born with the equipment to do.
I was really excited, Dan, that you got to show everyone what your newest fetish is, which is we pretend that he's being born from me. It's really exciting.
All right. Well, let's thank new human Aaron for coming up here. Thank you. I'm so sorry for everything.
No, thank you.
I hope we can heal this scarred world.
Thank you. Isn't she lovely? Such a sweetheart.
May I?
The big question is, if we see her in Colorado, then we didn't totally blow that.
Yeah, that's the good metric, yeah. Hopefully she won't get the flu and send us the wrong signal. It'll be like a Romeo and Juliet thing. Like, is Aaron out in the audience? And then she's not, and we're like, we really fucked up. And then we kill ourselves, and then she shows up late, and she's like, they killed themselves, and then she kills herself.
How did Jeff organize a firing squad that quickly? why does Dan's dick's in his hand?
Yeah, I mean, why is that's, he?
That's cross signals.
Was this a group suicide or a ritualistic murder / orgy?
I would jump off a bridge.
Oh, all right.
Sorry.
Yeah, there's a couple people who would. It's crazy. You got. I don't know if I would recommend watching that documentary or not. The Bridge.
No, oh boy, it's pretty.
It's I mean, it's, I don't know like if it's really film. A documentary.
It's really
it feels ghoulish and freak showish. Like I think the reason you're watching it is because you want to watch people jump off the Golden Gate Bridge.
It should be called Yes, You Get to See People Die.
And they kind of dress it up like that's not what you're watching.
I watch it, and it's such the sad music, and it shows people crying on the Golden Gate Bridge, and then it just ends with this repetitive, just people just plummeting.
And they shot it, and so the whole time you're going, you fucking shot it. Come on, this isn't
and
journalism.
You shot it. You could have run up and stopped them, but you just film people jumping off.
Yeah, like shoot a bottle rocket at them, something, because they're shooting it from way down below.
I was really
The thing that was the clincher was like, okay, because they kept interviewing this this one guy, and I was like,
this guy's family.
I was like, they kept talking about him and coming back to him, and I was like, there's nothing building here. I'm not learning anything new. If I find out that he just jumped off the bridge in the coolest way, if they just got the best shot of him committing suicide, then I'm fucking that's the final word on this thing. And
I was really sick to my stomach after. I was like, why did I watch that? I was really like, it really fucked me up for a whole day.
Suicide's not the answer, rap.
Coming up.
Yo. MC Life coming at you with a new message.
Yeah. It's about to get positive.
Don't do it. Don't take it all. Your mom and your dad gave you so much to call upon. Study your math. Don't drown yourself in the bath. If you want to strangle yourself, do it while you're jerking off. You might like it. And then stop doing it. And then you'd be like, you came harder. Life. Rhode Island.
May I ask something? This is a really self-focused question.
From you? Two.
Earlier, when you were asking Dan about his fetishes and stuff, I just want to ask. I want to ask the audience. This is an honest question, and I will take whatever answer you give me. And I'm not. This is not a leading question. I'm honestly asking you because I'm sitting in the back when Jeff was really drilling Dan about what his new fetishes are. Should I feel bad about that? Should I feel like
I was just fucking with him, obviously.
No, I know. But it felt it when I was sitting back there. I was like, is Jeff saying like in a very subtle way that he doesn't respect our relationship?
Certainly.
Or is
not.
It okay? Okay.
Yeah, that seems
okay.
Like
thank you. That's why I asked.
No, I mean, I think the worst thing you could say about Jeff is that he was trying to instigate us breaking up by by creating dynamite podcast entertainment. I wouldn't put him past that, but he's not a gun.
I'm not trying to bring the mood down.
I was trying
really,
to shoot
really
two
happy.
Arrows.
Well, I'll see you guys at D&D.
All right. Goodbye, baby.
Speaking of D&D, we should probably bring Spencer up right now, right?
Spencer!
Oh, yeah.
His bag of holding.
Again, for those of you just joining us for the first time, this is Spencer, our dungeon master, who's been traveling with us.
Wait, where are Corey and Dave, respectively, like in the audience? Where are they? Are they? Or, I mean, they don't have to be in the audience. Are you guys both back there?
Yeah, I'm over
Oh, okay. Wait. Okay. I was like wondering, am I face blind or is this guy either Corey or Dave? But this is just random guy. Yeah. I have borderline prosopagnosia.
Oh my God! I just realized we're going really late.
What? Oh shit! Is Bobcat?
Just called me. No. Okay. I just realized. When do we have to get out of here? 5 minutes.
Oh,
shit.
Okay. Oh, 2 minutes. Speed round. I didn't know this was a bullet train show.
That's totally my fault. Bad comp trolling.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
it's a bummer. We're sad. Like, we have to get out of here to load out so that Bobcat can load his audience in. So we're gonna put it right to the limit here. So Spencer, get us up to date.
You guys wake up. You're inside of a giant beast.
Good job. I kill the beast.
Nope.
Oh shit. describe this beast. What are we looking at here, Spencer?
You wake up in the wreckage of a ship. It seems to be ripped asunder. Although you're in a rather dark place, there seems to be some sort of ambient light shining through. You can see the red walls of wherever you're in through the cracks in the ship. Go.
I can see the what?
You can see the red walls outside of your ship. You're obviously in some sort of red cavern.
We got swallowed by an infinifish, is what I'm saying. For some of these guys, the Boston episode hasn't aired. Like, it ended with some weird flashback to a nursery rhyme my mom said about something called an infinifish,
right.
And then the ship got impacted by a huge thing. Now we're waking up inside.
So we're in the belly of the whale right now.
Yeah, this
you
guy.
Might just be.
It might just be. All right.
Well, we also learned in Brooklyn that Ray of Frost...
It's the shittiest spell you have. Ray of Frost is like, hey, go get me some ice. Are there squirrels or small woodland creatures I can summon inside this infinifish?
No, there are not.
Okay, I know.
You could maybe summon an epiglottis.
We can walk out into this. What are we looking at if we walk outside into this enclosure?
Exiting the wreckage of the ship, you see that you're at the bottom of a great red pit. Inky blackness stretches onward ahead of you. You can see globules studded on the walls, full of a green glowing fluid. It casts light throughout the room. Ooh. You see three white clothed figures approach from the north, assumedly.
I yell out, "Hey!"
They slowly approach silently.
All right, we...
Yeah.
I tried everything I could.
Use your diplomacy. Talk to these guys.
All right. I step forward, hands raised up to indicate no weapons in them, nor no spells being cast. And I kind of do like a fancy bow, like I'm a fancy person, and then I walk to them very gently, very diplomatically.
They approach. I see you're a fancy gentleman. Well, this is no place for your kind. We have a dwelling not far from here. You'd have to stick close. It's quite dangerous.
Who are you?
We were swallowed by the infinifish many moons ago. We're trying to make the best of it.
Okay, well, I think you're probably good people to go with in the short term. Can my friends come?
Yeah.
All right, guys, we should follow these guys.
Well, these guys, they've been here for many moons. We should go find people that know how to get out of here.
Well, I mean, it's an infinifish.
They all left.
Huh?
They all left.
Right, of course, yeah, that's flawed logic.
Well, so I say we follow them, especially since it's got to be like a 2-minute episode.
Oh, yeah, and also we're already over time now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we follow them.
Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger! Yeah! Spencer!
I'm sorry, Rhode Island.
All right, Dan. I hate to do it to you. We talked about killing ourselves. Aaron thought I was trying to destroy your relationship.
I'm sorry.
They're hugging and making up. Called Road. It's an island in the place that you've never known.
the street, and I came on her feet. She's a whore that cannot be beat. I fucked your mama in Harmontown, and I wanna fuck your mama again. I'll give her dollars, number and ten. That's all she's worth. She's a worthless person to me. Your mama's Harmontown. So sorry. It's hard to improvise lyrics, and a lot of times it results in talking about fucking your mama. But it's not a real mama. It's just the mama of America. The mama of America. 50 states wide, mama. District of Columbia. Is your pussy? I fucked America. President Obama, you hear? I'm gonna fuck your country without fear. I'm gonna take ownership and thrust from my constitutional right to fuck you over again. Fuck your mama, fuck your country. Fuck your mama, fuck your country. Fuck all the governments and all the politicians. Fuck all the police and fuck everything.
Thank you for coming to Harmontown, everyone. One more time.
Harmontown.
Spencer Crittenden.
Harmontown.
White Aaron. Black Aaron.
Oh.
Aarons of all colors and creeds.
Oh.
I'm Jeff Davis. One more time for the mayor, Dan Harmon. World's shittiest stage dive. All right, you know what? Everybody, we're all taking the party over to Whiskey Republic. You want to come over there? There's merchandise for sale. We'll hang out. We'll sign stuff. And you can we'll get Dan a real stage float when we go over there. Whiskey Republic, everybody. Thanks again. We love you all.
Yeah. And anybody that came from Somerville by request, like that did us the favor, you know who you are. You'll get whatever special treatment we can afford to give you, emotionally, physically, anything. I'm yours for the evening.
Thanks, guys.